Okay, so we are continuing with Amud Yomi. We're going to be doing Yud Aleph Amud Aleph today. We are on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet. We told the story of, what's his name again? Ketir Bar Shalom, who, though not Jewish, risked his life for the Jewish people. He was a general in the Roman Empire. This whole thing of how he's being led out to his death. He ends up self-circumcising himself. It ends up, we saw the famous line that Bocha Rebbe, the Rebbe cried out, Yish kano olamo b'sha'achas, Yish kano olamo b'kamashanim. Sort of lamenting the fact that we gave different interpretations. Is that a positive thing? Is that a negative thing about that? So, we're two lines up from the bottom. And it says, b'kamashanim Antonina shamshe the Rebbe, adarkan shamshe the Rav. So, that just like Rebbe had this very close relationship with Antoninos, Rav, his student, who then moved to Bavel, had a close relationship with the Sassanian Zoroastrian king, Adarkan, there as well. Kishrev Antoninos, Amar Rabbi Nitparda Chavila. When Antoninos passed away, Rabbi said, my bundle has come apart. Kishrev Adarkan, Amar Rav Nitparda Chavila. That when my, same thing when Adarkon passed away, Rav commented the same thing, that my bundle has come apart. As Rashi explains, what does that mean is that they have such a close relationship between these two great leaders, the Jewish and the non-Jewish. Really, as Rashi says, Ahavatenu Shnikshra Nevesh Benevesh, that their love, their care for one another was so profound that really it was a tremendous loss for each of them. So now we're going to hear an amazing story about Unculus. So Unculus Bar Clonimus, Igayer. So Unculus Bar Clonimus, he converted. And so, being the fact that the assumption is that Unculus was some sort of child of the Romanist aristocracy, you could imagine that the emperor and others didn't take too kindly the fact that he was converting to this religion. So, Shoter Caesar Gunda de Romae Abasre. So, the Caesar, the Caesar, sent an entire force of Roman soldiers after him. Moshchinu Bikarai. So what did he do? He started teaching them Torah, and he actually converted them. Igurir. So through his, you know, teaching them of Torah, his Dvar Torah, his drasha that he gave them as they were supposed to be carting him away, was so convincing and so compelling that they converted. So now, what do you think the Caesar is going to do? Hadar Shadar Gunda de Roma Echrina Basre. So the Caesar's not satisfied. He's like, we're going to send another group of Roman soldiers after him. Amar Lahu. He said to them, "Lo timru lei v'lo midi." Don't talk to him, because the previous group had been convinced and swayed by his word. So don't talk to him. He have a shakul vazlu. So as they were taking him away, Amr lahu ema lachu milsa ba'amo. Can I just say like a small little again not dvar Torah, just a dvar? Can I say just a dvar to you? So he said, "Sure." Nipuria naka nura kame pipiuria. So the nifiuria is some sort of a mayor. He holds the torch in front of the governor. Pibiuria la duksa. And the governor, say in this case, holds it in front of the senator. Duksa really means, it comes to the language of the duke, so it's again a higher official. Duksa la hegemona. So the duksa, again, holds it for the higher official, let's say for the head of the Senate. And hegemona la kuma. And the hegemon, the hegemon, from the word like of a hegemon, the hegemon holds it in front of the kuma. We would say, so the head of the Senate holds it in front of the President of the United States. So kuma minaka, kuma minaka nor mikme inchi. So then says Unculus to his captors, does the president, does the ruling monarch, does he hold the torch in front of anyone? Armilelo? Of course not. What do you mean? That it's the whole point is he's the respected one, and that's why they're holding the torch for him. So says Unculus, now I got you. Amalahu, he says that Baruch Hu Naka Nor Kam Yisrael. So that's how, it's true. But when it comes to Basar Vadam, so of course the most respected official does not go ahead and honor a lowly official. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchim Lachim, he is the one who holds the torch in front of the Jewish people. As the pasuk says, V'Hashem Holech Lefteihem Yomam, that God went in front of them during the days, is describing again what happened at the Shira Al Hayam, and again the continuation of the pasuk is Ba'amud Ish Lahar Lahem. Right, again, using the Sulat Lashon is that God is, so to speak, the bearer of the torch to the Jewish people in the sense that he shows respect to the Jewish people. And again, what's the argument? So we'll see what happens. So Igor Kulu, they all converted, meaning And I guess the message here is that in the ancient world, something this is Rabbi Sacks talks about in a lot of his writings, that in the ancient world there was a hierarchy, a very clear hierarchy. You were born into the aristocracy, okay, you were good, but you were still nothing compared to the emperor. And especially if you were born into a slave class, you were nothing. And it was all about who was more powerful, who was more rich. That was dictated your where you stood on that hierarchy. And yet what we're trying to show here is that in Judaism, the hierarchy is inverted. Even though you think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is all the way at the top, and therefore everyone else should fall in line to him, we see that Kadosh Baruch Hu with the revolution in thought that Judaism represents, respects people, even no matter where they are in the hierarchy. So now, I think we're stopped there. And up another group comes, Hadar Shadar Gunda Achar Nebasra. He sends another group, Amr Lehu. He says now, Caesar says the following instructions, Lo Tishtu Midi Behadeh. He says, do not engage in anything. No Divrei Torah, no Dvars, nothing. Do not talk at all. He Nakti Le Ve'azli. So now, as of now, they're finally taking him away, and no one's saying anything, no one's talking, no one's engaging in conversation. Chaza mezuzasa de melcha petcha. He saw there was a mezuzah on his doorway. Usiv yadei Allah. So now he puts his hand upon the mezuzah, and of course the Darkei Moshe says this is the source of the minhag for us to kiss the mezuzah on our way in and way out. V'amr lehu, my hai. He points to his captors, do you know what that is? What is that? Well, why am I touching this? I'm Malay. Imloch at. Hi, I'm sure you're going to tell us. So why are you touching this random scroll that's on your doorpost? So Amalehu, he says to them, Minhago Sha'olam, the way the world is, Melech Basar V'Dam, Yoshi B'Bifnim, V'Avadav Mishmarim Oso B'Bechutz. The way the world works is that the king is in the inside, and his servants are guarding him and are showing honor to him from the outside. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, his servants are in the inside, and he protects them, he guards them, he shows respect to them from the outside. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Hashem Yishmor Tzitzchav Oecha Meitav Yadolam Megabul will guard our going and coming from now and forever. Iguir. So they were convinced by that, and so they all converted. Su lo shadar basre. So finally, Caesar learned his lesson. He's no longer sending any more groups because everything he sent him, all of the guys he sent to Uncles have been converted. So now, still talking about, picking up our thread again about Antoninus and Rabbi. So the pasuk says, "V'yomer Hashem la shnei goyim bibedeich." Again about Rivka Yimenu, that the prophecy comes to her that she has two nations inside of her, Yaakov and Esav. Amar Yehuda Marav, "Al tikri goyim ela geyim." Don't read it as goyim ela geyim, meaning the proud ones. So who does this refer to? Ze Antoninus for Rabbi. It refers to Antoninus and Rabbi. Why are they representative of like the archetypes of Yaakov and Esav? Shelo pasku mi'al shulchanim lo chazeros lo kishos lo tznon lo bimos acham lo segishomim. They were so wealthy, therefore that's why they were proud of themselves. They're so wealthy that even though today where you go to a Giant, or you go to Safeway, or you go to Whole Foods, you get any vegetable, any fruit you want any time of the year. But obviously in the ancient period, that wasn't the case. You'd be very wealthy to so have strawberries, you know, in the winter. And yet they were so wealthy that no matter what they wanted, any type of vegetable or fruit or anything was available to them in the summer or the winter. So why are they important? So the Gemara just tells us some more about some of the eating habits. Amar Mar, Tznon, Mechateich. Apparently, Tznon, it's cabbage. It sort of cuts up, it helps you digest more. Mechatech ochel, chazeres mehapech machel, it sort of, again, furthers the digestive process. And kishos, which is, what's the word? Zucchini. Yeah, zucchinis. Zucchinis, marchiv me'ayam, they expand your stomach again. All these things aid in the digestive process. Now, it sounds like kishos are, these zucchinis are really good for you. It helps with digestion. Bab, hatana, we're going to see later on the Gemara. And why are they called kishuin? Why are zucchinis called kishuin? Because they are bad for your body like a sword. So on the one hand, you're telling me they're really good for digestion. Now this teaching is telling us that they're really bad. So where's the no. Lo kasha ha barbarai ha bezutrai. That the big zucchinis, those are ones that are bad for you, but the small zucchinis, those are good for you. Again, I can't make heads or tails of this. As we'll see later on, the Chavtas Manav is talking about all these descriptions of rabbinic medicine, which I can't vouch for either. So this, again, this is what they observed that it helped with digestion. Okay, now going on some halakhic points. So the Mishnah had said back on, no, it was back on Chesam and Aleph, talking about different Eidehen, different holidays of the pagans, which were commerce can be prohibited. So two that were listed was Yom HaLeida V'Yom HaMisa, like the day on which the birthday and the Yahrzeit. So we had said that Reb Meir held that it doesn't matter. Anytime it's the Yahrzeit, anytime it's the Yahrzeit, then it's commerce can be prohibited. The Chachamim, they disagree. They said, no, you have to have Srefa. If there's a kindling, if there's a burning of the property of, there's a kindling, so then it's going to be prohibited. That's a day in which they do also Takrovas of Avodas Kochavim. But if there's not a Srefa, there's not a kindling of the property of the king, then it's not a time in which they do it. So, the Gemara says now, here after the two dots. So, Michlal, the remainder savar lo shna misa sheish basreifa lo shna misa sheim basreifa. So the Gemara makes a diok and says, you see from the opinion of remainder in our Mishnah on Chesam and Aleph, that it doesn't matter about what they do, right? Whether they burn things or they don't burn things. But the common denominator is that any time it's the yahrzeit of the king or when the king dies, so then that day is when they also bring sacrifices to their pagan deities and therefore it's going to be prohibited to engage in commerce. So it says, yeah, palchi ba'av eskochavim. They worship their gods. So the Gemara then says a step further. Alma srefa lav chukihi. So you see from there is that srefa, the burning of the items of the king, isn't an example of, let's say, a religious action of the non-Jews. Because if it was, then that would be the differentiating point. If it was a chok, so then it should matter whether they're burning them or not. So now the Gemara says that's true by Rabbi Meir. Abichlal, the Rabbanan Savri, Sreva Chukihi. So it implies that according to the Rabbanan, who say, no, when they're going ahead and they're burning, that's when it's prohibited to do commerce. When they're not burning, it isn't prohibited to do commerce. That's true. So then it sounds like, according to the Rabbanan, they think that the act of burning the king's stuff is not necessarily an idolatrous practice, but a prohibited Gentile practice. But then we're going to have a problem. Bahatanu v'braisa in the Tosefta, surfin al malachim v'lo midarki emori. So it says the Tosefta that when one of our kings, a Jewish king, passes away, you can burn his things as an act of kavod and mourning, and it's not an example of midarki emori. So Gemara says v'ichukahi anan hechi sarfinan. So, and if it was a chok, again, it's important to realize that the Gemara is dealing with two different concepts. There is darki emori, and there is Chukas Agoyim. So the Gemara seems to be saying, if it's Darkei Mori, then certainly it's not going to be Chukas Agoyim. And yet, here we're saying that we can do it. And if it is a chok, how can we burn? The pasuk says, "Aksiv ubuchukoseim lo telecho." The pasuk tells us we shouldn't be following after in their seemingly nonsensical practices. So therefore, the Gemara says, based on this challenge, el dekumi alma srifa lav chukihi. It must be that the act of burning the king's stuff isn't an example of some sort of paganistic practice, but rather it's indicative of the honor and kavod and chashivus due to this king. So therefore, so then what's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Because until now we said, the machlokas in Rabbi Meir and Chachamim is whether or not Srefa is a chok. If you're telling me everyone agrees it's not a chok, so what's their machlokas? What are they arguing about? As follows, Rabbi Meir Savar Lo Shna Misa Sheish Bas Reifa Lo Shna Misa Sheim Bas Reifa Palchi Bal Vosuchavim. It comes to seemingly it's a sociological point. The corner Rabbi Meir that regardless of what they do, whether they burn this king stuff or not, this is a time when the king dies. It is a day in which they worship their pagan deities. Rabbanan Savri Misa Sheish Bas Reifa Chashivlu U Palchi Ba Vesheim Bas Reifa Lo Chashiv Velo Palchi Ba. According to the Rabbanon, then again, seemingly it's about sociological machlokes that they seem to hold that when the king dies and it's chashuv, a misa when they're burning stuff that indicates that it's a chashuv king, and it's only for a chashuv king do they sacrifice things to their pagan deities. So Gemara then says, wait a second, so let's look into that point about what we do for our kings. Gufa, so sorfin al hamalachim ve'imbo mishum darkei mori. That we burn the stuff of the king in their honor, and it doesn't violate Darkei Emori. Shneamar, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, that the king is told, "Bishalom tamut," that you will die in peace. Misrafot v'techa malachim, and your burned up things like we did for your father, the king. So the Gemara then says, "V'kashem shesorfan al malachim, kach sorfan al nasiim." And not only is this practice done as this act of honor and kavod for kings, it's also done for tamid chachamim. So now Gemara says, "Okay, fine. So you tell me what the who is. Who are the people for which we burn things? But what is the what? Umahim sorfim al malachim. What do they burn to show honor to the king?" So Gemara says, "Mitasan v'klei tashmishan." They burn the royal bed and also his personal items. So Gemara tells us a story. Umaisa Shemesh Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken. And it was when Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken passed away. V'sarfa lov Unklus Hager. Oh, who's Unklus? Because we mentioned him at the top of the Gemara. And Unklus Hager, Unklus the convert, he burned Shivim Mana Tsuri. He burned 70 mana of Tyrian silver, which is a lot of money. But not just not Kalim worth Tyrian silver. It sounds like he burned just all these coins. And Gemara says, wait a second. Hamarta, mahin sorfim aleihem mitas no kletash misham. It sounds like what you do in order to show honor to the king is not just to take, imagine you take like $100,000 and you just burn it. No, the way we show honor to the king is burning his stuff. So Gemara says, no, it's not that he burned, say, $7 million. Ema b'shivim mana tsuri. Rather, the things he burned were worth, had the value of 70 mana of Tyrian silver. So Gemara says, wait a second. Media achrina lo. Is it really true that we don't burn anything else? Vatanya, we learn the Braisa. Okrin al malachin v'imbo mishum darki mori. That we will hamstring, we will be okar the veins and the sinews of the royal horse. And again, this isn't a violation of darki mori. Amar of Papa, sus shirachav alav, which was the animal in which this was done? This was done to the royal steed. So Gemara says, wait, behemoth horah lo? Are you telling me that this animal is only done to a non-kosher animal, but not to a kosher animal? Batanu another brisa, ikur sheyeshba treifa aser. The Gemara tells us, the brisa tells us that you cannot go ahead and do ikur that's going to result in the animal being a treifa. As Rashi says over here at the bottom, last Rashi, aser ligrom lebehema treifas biyadayim. We cannot cause actively and intentionally for an animal to become a treifa. So if the animal is going to become a treifa, that's also to do. Usheimba treifa mutter. And if it isn't, if it's not going to become a treifa, then it's mutter to do. Now the problem is the word's going to say, well, understand what animals do we care about them being a treifa? Well, only kosher animals, because that's the whole concept where a treifa is applicable to. So the Gemara is telling you that for the king, you could do ikor on an animal that's not going to result in a treifa. Well, the category of treifa is only applicable to animals which are kosher. So before we get to that problem, the Gemara says, well, what's a way in which you can make an animal that's not going to be a treifa? So the Gemara says, v'ezu ikor she'im ba'treifa, flipping over let's read the last line outside. Hamanasher pasuseha min harkuva l'mata, to sort of take out the part of the hoof from their kneecap and downwards. So therefore, according to that, so it sounds like you can result an animal not being a treifa by doing this ikor, removing of certain sinews and veins properly. So that's true. Then what kind of animal are we discussing here? So Mar says, no, Rav Papa, Tirgimah Rav Papa, Be'agla HaMosheches Bekaron. You're right, it wasn't the royal steed. It was the animal, which could be an ox or some sort of cow, that would pull the royal chariot. All right, we'll stop here.